And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Man, covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show. I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio audience. Then there's all y'all that go out there in the World Wide Web, anywhere in the big wide world, and you can stream the show. You are streaming the show and also picking up on podcast afterwards. So thank you very much, every one of you. We love being a part of this of your lives every day. So I'm going to jump into some home fries in a minute. I got to get a few text messages. Jerry from Decatur said, I've been through Russell, Kansas as a trucker. It truly was all Bob Dole. What a great American and a great fighter, airborne. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate you.
By the way, we have some comments. People enjoyed that Baby AI video. We got one that just says, oh my goodness, with four laughing emojis. But then we also got John from Huntsville who said, if you do a Baby AI of Dale Jackson, he still looks exactly the same.
That's hilarious. Jack from Huntsville says, I always trip people up when I ask them how many R's are in Sherbet. But you left off the H, dude. It's Sherbet. Anyway, he said, how many R's are in there, Colonel? There's two. Wait, no, one. There's one. Sherbet.
But isn't it Sherbet?
Sherbet. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Sherbet.
Yeah,
one.
Sherbet.
JT Lacey Spring says, your legal disclaimer was 2.8 seconds. How about that? By the way, he said, monologue, you never know a person until someone goes in depth to disclose their life. It's true. Roxanne from Harvest said that was a 10. I think that she means the monologue, I guess.
I concur.
Thank you, Roxanne. Appreciate you. Oh, is she talking about the disclaimer or the monologue?
The disclaimer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you, Roxanne. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue and happy Camel Day. Also, did you hear that according to 1819 News, meteorologist James Spann is receiving death threats and online abuse due to his views on the Gulf of America name change? By the way, JP, the Stanley Cup Finals begin tonight and Edmonton Oilers and Florida Panthers. There you go.
I have to check that out.
And I did see the article about James Spann. It's amazing. People get ticked off of the weather, so they assault the weatherman. It makes no sense whatsoever.
But, well, and he wasn't even saying his views on it. He was simply calling it the Gulf of America.
Yeah, but I'm talking about there's people that get on to him all the time. You screwed up the weather. Mm-hmm. I think he made the point in the article. He said, have you ever tried to fill out a March Madness bracket? Did you get them all right?
Well, then it's like, okay, well, did you want like 20 tornadoes to come through Alabama? Like, you should be happy that he was wrong.
That's exactly right. Dave from Capshaw says, I literally ran into Senator Bob Dole back in the 80s. I was touring the Capitol building. I was walking around looking up at the dome when I ran into someone. I looked down, discovered it was Senator Bob Dole. We both apologized, and then he laughed. That's good. That's great. Victor from Huntsville says, Phil, I saw some of those post-election late-night TV appearances by Bob Dole. My thought was if that Bob Dole had campaigned, he would have been elected. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that he was a lot looser when he was enjoying himself. The campaign speech, he always appeared a little wooden. But I'll never forget. So when he spoke in Gadsden, Alabama, we had an outdoor rally near a monument by the river, and he was there to support Robert Aderholt for one of his first runs for Congress. And at the time, Aderholt, I want to say, was like only like 29, 30, 31 years old, and running for, like I said, I think his first term in Congress. And Senator Dole was up there speaking for him, and Aderholt was sitting on a chair behind him on the dais, and he says, you know, I'm here today to support Robert Aderholt. He's got a great future ahead of him. Robert, how old are you, by the way? And he see Aderholt, like, this is not the question he wanted. He goes, 31. He goes, 31? My gosh, I've got socks older than you. And then he caught himself and realized he had kind of cut on
him.
Yeah,
that's
it. He's like, but I'm sure you'll do a great job.
Yikes.
Yeah. Anyway, but I thought that was hilarious, that socks older than you. All right, last one real quick before I start the dippers. Jeff from Indiana says, if you ever needed a pen, you could always get one from Bob Dole. He always had one in his right hand. He did. That right hand, that was his shtick, JP. If you ever see pictures of him, he put something, his hand was not functional, but he would put a pen in it like this because it gave it the appearance of doing something. And and so he walked around with a pen in his hand most of the time. But he could swing his arm, but he couldn't use it. So he always shook hands with his left. Anyway, All right, listen, I gotta touch on something. I'm gonna chase a rabbit. JP and I were talking about this before the show. This just so gets under my skin. Like, not a little bit. A lot. Like, embedded. This impales me. It is so under my skin. So, story is atop of Fox News. Karine Jean-Pierre, the infamous glass ceiling breaking KJP, has announced that she has left the Democrat Party, considers herself to be an independent, and has a tell-all book about the Biden White House coming out. Do you have any sound effect over there that ranks well enough to get that one taken care of? I mean, crickets followed by jackassery. I like it. This is two things. This is, I know a way to make a whole lot of money. And the other is, I better control the narrative and do a little CYA before they subpoena me in there to give testimony. This is absolutely obnoxious. We were talking about this. Your thoughts on it?
So, I mean, the Jake Tapper book, it's annoying, but I mean, it's like, okay, whatever. I can see it's pretty obvious what he's doing. He's trying to make money off of the, you know, the Biden media cover up, whatever, which he was part of. But if you're going to talk about the actual administration itself,
yeah,
and people who covered it up and gaslit the American people to not ask questions about it.
Yeah. Who were the liars in chief?
Karine Jean-Pierre is at the top of that list. Literally, maybe like her and Joe Biden are 1A and 1B.
She was the liar boss.
Yeah. I mean, she went out there every week and shamed reporters who asked questions about it. I think Karine Jean-Pierre started the whole cheap fakes narrative where the videos of Biden stumbling around looking lost. Oh, those are cheap fakes. And like, not just a random staffer in the administration that's writing a book, the top person who was responsible for it.
I think there's only one person I could think of that would be more obnoxious to write a book, and that'd be Jill Biden.
Yes.
If Jill Biden wanted to write an expose, it might be worse than KJP. But right now, you're right. She's the gaslighter in chief.
And I mentioned this to you off air. If we got like halfway through the administration and Karine Jean-Pierre was like, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I'm done.
I can't keep lying. This is ridiculous. I can't be a part of this. I would have respect for her for doing that. But she wrote it to the bitter end. And now that it's done, she's wanting to act like she wasn't a part of it. And I was appalled by all the, you are the chief person and responsible for that.
And by the way, you're the one who mocked people, mocked people for saying what apparently you're about to say in your book.
Yeah.
She's going to come out with, and in fact, I'll open the article. I looked at it briefly. This is just so obnoxious. In fact, I really think that I hope that she winds up impugning her own character in the book, because we've got the videos. It's not like it's going to be hard to do a fact check on her. And when she says, you know, I began to see that Joe Biden really struggled with his stamina and he couldn't hold up to the day. If we can compare that to her saying he can run circles around the staff, we can hardly keep up with him. Well, then you have to look at it and go, okay, did you or did you not lie in the service of your country? Did you put the lie over the interests of the truth in the actual official capacity as, you know, the press secretary for the president? She says in her book that, where does it go? Hang on a second. She says in her interview, I'm sorry. She said, until January 20th, I was responsible for speaking on behalf of the president of the United States. But at noon on that day, I became a private citizen who, like all Americans and many of our allies around the world, had to contend with what was to come next for our country. I determined that the danger we face as a country requires freeing ourselves of boxes. We need to be willing to exercise the ability to think creatively and plan strategically. What she is saying is, I was just following orders. Isn't that what the guards at Dachau said when they gassed Jews? I probably shouldn't compare her to that.
But
I'm just following orders thing is there are probably more tragedies attached to that phrase over the history of the world than many others.
But it's funny too, because not only did she write the book, but apparently she's left the Democratic Party. I'm now an independent because I was just so appalled by what like that. You were a part of, like, I'm sorry, I'm not taking that from you. You know, if you did that halfway through, like I said, that's one thing, but you didn't. You wrote it to the end. You're responsible for it.
Yep. All the way to the end. Now, Jen Psaki, she got out. She got out and she's still lying for him.
Oh, yeah. And I kind of respect that more. Like, that's just who she is. She's not even trying to act like, you know, she's had this epiphany like Karine Jean-Pierre is.
Well, all I know is, Oh, here it is. There's actually a quote where she was being interviewed by Don Lemon. Yeah, Don Lemon. She once told CNN host Don Lemon that after he asked a question about Biden's ability to serve a second term, she goes, "Don, you're asking me this question. Oh, my gosh, he's the president of the United States. I can't even keep up with him." And now she's going to write a book about how bad things have been. I hope that Congress calls her in and makes her work for it. The problem is just the people who take issue with her doing this are going to want to read the book, and that alone is going to make her money. You know what I'm saying? Like people like me who want to be able to say, it says on page 42, you bold-faced liar, that this is yada, yada. Well, I have to get the book to be able to say that.
She knows what she's doing.
She's a media hack, and what she's done for years is try to control the narrative, and that's exactly what she's doing again. It's a CYA for herself. She's trying to control the narrative. And oh, by the way, if I can make a buck while I do it, yay for me. That's where she's at. And she's going to make the speaking circuit with her Raggedy Ann hairdo. Just saying.
Shameless.
Me or her?
No, probably her.
All right, take me to a break, JP. We'll take that break. We'll come right back, and then we'll jump on into some home fries. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.